Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
Well, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them up to... Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. We're in the middle of a series, Philippians chapter 2. And look at verse 13. We're in the middle of a series on your best friend forever. Who would that be?
Holy Spirit.
Jesus said, I'm going away, but I'm going to send you one exactly like me. Aren't you glad? You know, last week we talked about, I think the previous week, we talked about some of the languages that the Spirit communicates with you. And so many people, they want to know, they want God to talk to them. And what they don't realize is He probably already is, they just don't recognize that He's talking to them that way. So we've been on a particular issue the last few weeks in the area of the Holy Spirit leads you by desires. Here in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, it says, it is God who is at work in you. Everybody say, God is at work in me. Both to will, everybody say, to will. And to work for His good pleasure. And then if you'll see in this verse that one of the ways that the Holy Spirit directs us is He places things in our will. And go over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 11 says, to this end also we pray. This is Paul praying for the church of Thessalonica. He says, to this end we pray for you always, that our God will count you worthy of your calling and fulfill every what? Of your calling and fulfill every desire for goodness. So the way that the Holy Spirit leads us and directs us is not necessarily by words and sentences, but by desires and placing things in your will. And He prays this, that the desire that He would fulfill every desire for goodness and the work of faith with power. So we need to recognize when those things are in us that the Holy Spirit's wanting us to follow those things because He's trying to lead and direct us. That's one of the languages of the Spirit of God. And we're going to get into some things today. How many know it's good to recognize and safeguard against things that are not the Spirit of God? Right? We don't want to just throw the baby out with the bathwater, but how many know it's much easier when you have a congregation and 95% of them recognize when individual or individuals may have stepped out of bounds. And it seems like when you talk about things like the Holy Spirit that, you know, you get all kinds of weird stuff out there. And you get all kinds of sentiments and attitudes and perspectives and activities and things in public. And we're going to get into some things today. Nothing that's happened here. But it has happened. And so it's important for us to recognize as the body of Christ what is Holy Spirit and what is not. What are the things that, when we talk about that he communicates, you know, last week we talked about the fact that you understand this, that darkness, the powers of darkness, the kingdom of darkness, it's, as you said last week, it's full of BS. Everybody know what that is? Blame and shame. That's the way it works. it wants to heap as much blame and as much shame on people as it possibly can, because that's the way it works. So we're all about no BS, right? And so anybody that is speaking by the Spirit of God does not traffic, if you understand what I mean when I say traffic. He doesn't traffic in BS. He doesn't traffic in blame and shame. And what happens so often is we talk about the Holy Spirit and the ways of the Spirit of God, and sometimes we get confused because we think that if I feel good and condemned, that must have been the Holy Spirit. But he's not that way. He doesn't traffic in blame and shame. The only one that traffics in blame and shame is darkness. In fact, that's the very first thing that he revealed about himself in the garden. You remember when Adam made the choice to allow Eve to take of the fruit, and then she turned and gave it to him. He says, I'm on, and he took it too. And then all of a sudden he realized, oops. And then when the Lord showed up to walk in fellowship with him in the cool of the day, their reaction was, let's run away. And so God said, why are you where you are? I mean, no, he didn't say, where are you? Because he knows where you are. And he said, why are you where you are? And so then Adam began to tell him why. And he said, we were naked and we were afraid. And his question is interesting because he said, who told you you were naked? The idea being communicated there was who made such an exaggerated deal about you being naked that you... it heaped shame upon your head. Because that's what caused Adam to leave and flee. So we see that that's the way darkness is. So as human beings, we need to recognize what is God and what is not God. He gets blamed for all kinds of things. And he gets all kinds of things pinned to him in the name of, I'm spiritual and you're not. So it's important that we understand and recognize the way of the Holy Spirit and how he communicates and how he does not communicate. Amen? So let's go to Philippians chapter 2. We were there last week. Philippians chapter 2. And Paul is speaking to the church at Philippi, and he says this in verse 1. Therefore, if there's any encouragement in Christ, if there's any consolation of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if there's any affection and compassion, make my joy complete, being of the same mind and maintaining the same love. Now, really what these verses are saying, you know, I really wish that we could define the word if in your Bible a whole lot better than it is. Because the word if can mean four different things. In fact, if you look at these verses, it's not the word if at all, it's the word since. Changes the verse. In fact, what it really is saying here is, since there is, you know, your Bible might say, NASB says, since there is any encouragement, any consolation of love, any fellowship. It's actually saying, since there is, as it were, a certain encouragement that's in the body of Christ, since there is, as it were, a certain consolation of love, and if, or since as it is a certain affection and a certain compassion. So he's saying there's specific attributes that surround the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. This is where he works. The word encouragement there. How many know that Holy Spirit is called the paraclete? It comes from the Greek word that means one who's called alongside. And the idea is that he's called alongside to continually speak to you about who you are. Because frankly, folks, most people do not know. You are not who your daddy said you are, as in natural. You are not who your natural mother said you are. You are not who your friends say you are. You are not who society says you are. You are who he says you are, because he knew you before you were put on the planet. So he's the only one qualified to speak into your ear and tell you, this is who you are. So since there is a certain, as it were, encouragement in Christ, and since there is, as it were, a certain consolation, or you could say a certain cheering on, It's the picture of a gentle, cheering, speaking soothing words towards someone, of the love of God. How many of the love of God is constantly wanting to speak to you? It wants to speak to you. It's constantly wanting to speak to you. But see, if you have this idea in your head that God's a certain way, you remember what Paul said to the church in Corinth. He said, look, you're not hindered by us. You're hindered by your own affections. Your own affections towards us are what are hindering you, what are limiting you. But how many know people's own affections toward God are what hinder and affect them? Because He is who He says He is. But our response to Him, we said this one time, in the setting of worship, in the setting of worship, you can tell where people's affections are as to how they enter into worship. You can tell whether they have a revelation and they've known and received the love that He has for them, or whether they don't quite get it by the way people are in the atmosphere of worship. I didn't say that. Jesus did. So here He says there's a certain encouragement in Christ. There's a certain, as it were, a certain cheering on of the love of God in your life. There is a certain, since there's a certain fellowship of the Spirit and since there's a certain, as it were, affection or compassion, He says, since that is the case, then make my joy complete, be of the same mind, maintain the same love. Now, we're talking about the Holy Spirit, the ways of the Holy Spirit, how He conducts Himself. Folks, He conducts Himself in that arena. He's the one that's an encourager. He's the one that He wants to speak to you. He wants to cheer you on. There is no greater, you have no greater cheerleader in your life than Him. It pays to spend time with Him and let Him do that. Okay? You remember in Acts chapter 2, if you put Acts chapter 2, verses 17 and 18, where Paul is saying in the last days, he's quoting Joel, and he says, in the last days, God says that I'll pour forth of my Spirit on all mankind. And He said, your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Everybody say prophesy. How many know the word prophecy again means to unveil the mind of another? He says, in the last days, which is the days that Peter was speaking of, if those were the last days then, how many know we're in those right now too? He says, God said, I'm going to pour forth of my Spirit, say of my Spirit, on all mankind. Notice it said on all mankind. How's it going to happen? Through you. And He says, your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and I will in those days pour forth of my Spirit, and they will prophesy. And then He says, And then if you look at what Paul said through the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians 14, speaking of prophecy, he said, one who prophesies, and you might as well put in parentheses, of my Spirit, speaks to men for edification, to build them up, to exhort them, and consolation, to cheer them on. He says, if all prophesy, and you could put in there, in parentheses, of my Spirit, and an unbeliever or a natural man or ungifted man enters in, he's convicted by all, he's called to account by all, the secrets of his heart are disclosed, and so he'll fall on his face and worship God. Now let me ask you a question. How many people have read this verse, and when it talks about the fact that he'll be convicted by all, that we automatically interpret that as, and the secrets of his heart are revealed, we automatically interpret that as all the bad stuff that's inside of him? Me too. But that's not at all what he's saying. Because if Holy Spirit functions in the arena of edification, exhortation, and comfort, then what he's going to be drawing out of the man and what's going to be coming out of the prophetic, the unveiling of the mind of Father towards that individual is things that build him up, edify him, and exhort him. Folks, it's time to quit blaming God for stuff. Yep. Let's put our big boy pants on. Our big girl pants on. And stop blaming God for stuff because He didn't do it. And the fact of the matter is, if Holy Spirit functions in the arena of encouraging, building up, and exhorting you, then anybody who says they represent Him will do the same thing. So if we ever get in a situation where individuals stand up and, you know, thus saith the Lord, and everything coming out of their mouth is heaping blame and shame, then it's not the Holy Spirit. And if anybody's in here and they got a, quote, word from the Lord at one point, and that's all it was, I'm so sorry. Because that wasn't the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit, as is revealed in 1 Corinthians 14, when he speaks to men, he speaks to men to edify, to exhort, to build up, exhort, and cheer on. And so if all prophesy by my Spirit, and an ungifted man or a natural man enters, then he's going to be convicted, and the secrets, the plans of God that are in his heart will be revealed, and he'll recognize that God is surely among you. How many have been sitting in a service, or you talk to somebody, and all of a sudden they start talking about something the Spirit of God is reading your mail? But it's like he's reading your mail, but it's not a bad thing. It's like he's encouraging you. He brings something out of something that's in you, and brings it and says, here, look at this. What are we going to do about this? And it's a good thing. He's trying to encourage you. He's trying to bring you up into something. Because that's the way the Holy Spirit is. So in 1 Corinthians 14:26, he says, what's the outcome then? Well, when you assemble, when you come together, each one of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a revelation, has a tongue, has an interpretation, and you could say in parentheses, of my Spirit. Let all things be done for edification. Let all things be done to build people up. Why? Because that's the ways of the Holy Spirit. Everybody say, that's the way of the Holy Spirit. So, just out of curiosity, how many times does the Holy Spirit bring this particular issue out in the writings of Paul? Well, in Romans chapter 14, verse 19, Romans 14, 19, he says this, so then we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 through 18, Ephesians 4, 15 through 18, he says this. Speak the truth in love. Now, how many times when you've heard that verse and what came out of somebody's mouth was, I'm just going to set you straight. All in the guise is being spiritual. And then when they get called on the carpet, they say, well, you're just afraid to speak the truth in love. Well, the problem is you don't know the word, you don't know the ways of the Spirit of God. If the Spirit of God is going to correct someone, he's going to correct someone in their own house. Now, if they do something in the public eye, what does the Word say to do? You bring individuals and you sit down with them privately with the witnesses, and you bring things to their attention and you give them the opportunity to correct. But there's still, in that setting, there's still no blame and shame. Right? Because the Holy Spirit doesn't live there. He doesn't work there. He doesn't do things that way. So speaking things in love, Ephesians 4, 15, speaking the truth in love, it says we're to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, verse 16, from whom together by what every joint supplies. What is every joint supplying? Every joint, which is speaking of you, is supplying exhortation, edification, and comfort to people. Right? I did an interview yesterday for an internet project. And one of the questions that was asked me, I thought it was interesting. They asked me, so what would you say as a pastor, what would you say is the best way to get a release of the gifts of the Spirit in your church? And the Holy Spirit brought to my mind this, and this is the way I answered. Being that we know that the ways of the Holy Spirit are to exhort, build up, and encourage, then the best way for us to grow into the operation of the gifts of the Spirit in your personal life is to be willing to not restrict yourself emotionally towards other people via, like, strangers that you don't know. And be willing to ask the Lord in any situation, whether you're speaking to someone you don't know, ask them, you know, are there some encouraging things that I could speak to them from you? And be willing to be used to speak words into the lives of people that just simply build up and exhort them. How many could do that? How many could do that? Because that's where we start. If this is where our Holy Spirit lives and this is the way He is, then the best way for us to develop into the areas of the operation of the gifts of the Spirit is to become comfortable and allow yourself to get into the circle of someone else's existence and speak into their life things that encourage, build up, and exhort them. And then the more we get comfortable doing those things, then He'll begin to fold in revelation from Him. The Word of God talks about word of wisdom and word of knowledge. Word of knowledge is knowing something that is in the past or right now, even as I'm speaking. And the Holy Spirit brings that to your attention, and you begin to speak on that. You may not even know what you're touching on, but the person that's hearing knows that you're talking about something that's right now or in the past that only he would know. But we have to be willing, before there's any element of revelation flowing, we have to be willing to get out of our comfort zones. And like Paul says, don't restrict yourself. Don't hold your affections. Don't be restrained in your affections towards other people. How many know that's just self-preservation? Amen? That's just self-preservation. God's not about self-preservation. Because if we're self-preserving, then what Paul is saying is you're doing things out of your own interests, not the interests of Him, but out of your own interests. So we have to be willing to not restrain our affections one towards another, and be willing to at least, at the minimum, start where you are and ask Him to show you how to begin to speak things into people's lives that build up, encourage, and exhort people, because that's the foundation of where the Holy Spirit lives. And when we get comfortable doing those things, you're going to find that all of a sudden now they'll start being elements of revelation into what you're saying, into the lives of people. And they'll begin to confirm those things, and it'll just grow from there. Okay? So, we're talking about the ways of the Spirit and the fact that His way is to exhort, comfort, and edify. And Paul said to the church at Ephesus, speak the truth in love, which would have to include and have that element of exhorting, edifying, and building up. Don't use these verses as an excuse to go rip somebody a new one. Can I say that? For everybody on the internet overseas, what that means is don't shred somebody with your words. Don't tear them down with your words. We never have an excuse to do that because the Holy Spirit doesn't do that. So, he says, so when according to the proper working, according to what every joint supplies, which is edifying, exhorting, and comforting, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building of itself up in love. Verse 17, so this I say and affirm together with the Lord, so the Lord is agreeing with him, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles or natural man. Stop walking as natural man only in the futility of your own mind, your own thought processes. He says, verse 18, the reason why is because you're darkened in your understanding and you're excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in you. I mean, no, we never want to just start shooting things out of our own heads. First Thessalonians 5:11, he says this, encourage one another, build up one another just as you also are doing. And then later on in verse 14, same chapter, 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, verse 14, he says, we urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. That means everyone, even the ones you don't like. I mean, no, that means even with your pastor. Verse 15, see that no one repays another with evil for evil, But always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. Verse 16. Rejoice sometimes. Rejoice when things are good. Rejoice when you feel good. Rejoice when things are going good. Oh, you sure this verse is in everybody else's Bible? Rejoice always. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. Now, he's not saying it's all good, because how many know it ain't all good? Don't call the things of darkness good. No wonder people sort of twist it up. Well, God does bad things to you because, you know, it's all good. No, it's not all good. He's good, and he's all good, but it's not all good. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Now look at verse 19, 1 Thessalonians 5. After saying all those things about always seek that which is good for one another, rejoice always, in everything give thanks, in verse 19 he says, do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophetic utterance. Why? Because the element of prophetic utterance, the unveiling of the mind of Father through you to someone else is always, always, always going to have the element of to build you up, to exhort you, and to bring comfort into your life. The fact of the matter is the prophetic is designed to get you to shift your focus from what you're looking at to what he sees. So he wants you to raise your vantage point about 15 degrees and look at things the way he sees them instead of the way you're looking at them right now. Paul told Timothy, by the prophetic words that have been spoken over you, fight a good fight. So if he's ever spoken things over to you, if he's ever spoken things into your life about you and about your future, then you need to hold on to those things. And when circumstances try to yell at you and say something otherwise, you need to pull those things out. And if you got to yell it, you read them off your paper. And you say, no, my God, my dad said this. And you read it. And if you have to read it every day of your life, all day long, then you do that until darkness backs down and things change. Because if your father said it, that's the way it is. Amen. Paul said this in two places, actually, to his letters. It's actually his third letter. We call it 2 Corinthians, but it's his third letter. 2 Corinthians 10:8, he says, for even if I boast somewhat further about my authority, which the Lord gave me, he gave it to me for building you up and not for destroying you. And then he made this statement, I will not be put to shame. Why? Because that's not the way the Holy Spirit rolls. Folks trying to question his authority, question his legitimacy as an apostle. Folks that weren't even qualified to say anything. And he said, look, my authority that God gave me is to build you up and not to destroy you. He said, but I will not be put to shame. And then in 2 Corinthians 13:10, he says basically the same thing. He says, for this reason I'm writing these things to you while absent, so that when I'm present, I need not use severity. He's commenting on a comment that was made about him. In accordance with the authority which God gave me for building up and not for tearing down. So once again, what is the atmosphere and the environment, that the ways of the Spirit of God, what are they? It's always going to be in the arena of to build you up, to exhort you, and to bring comfort into your life. That's the most basic way he functions. Everything else, as far as word of wisdom, word of knowledge, the element of, quote, foretelling future things, is always going to be in that envelope. Right? It's always going to be in that envelope of edification, exhortation, and comfort. Did you hear what I just said? It's always going to be in that envelope that is edification, exhortation, and comfort. So when you hear, quote, prophetic words from people who say, thus saith the Lord, God's going to destroy America. You might as well just go turn it to the classic rock station and turn it up. Because that's not where the Holy Spirit is. They have a wrong model. They seem to think that, you know, things that we see in the Old Testament as far as the way that the prophets functioned, they seem to think that this is the way it is in the New Covenant, and it's not that way. Okay? You guys get that? Okay. So now go over to let's see, 1 Thessalonians. No, go to James. Go over to James. James. How many have read James before? How many have been completely confused at what James is saying? Because he's talking about works, not faith, and I thought it was not about works, I thought it was about faith, and what's James saying? Well, just to clear it up, the works that James is talking about is the working out of the love of God that's in you, bringing it into manifestation towards others around you. That's the works. Okay. So, interesting segment here. James chapter, I believe it's chapter 2. Chapter 3. James 3. I just want you to get your pages unstuck. James 3. Notice verse 13. It says, "Who among you is wise and understanding?" We're still speaking of the ways of the Holy Spirit. And you'll understand why we're bringing this out. Because, folks, we got to know these things. Otherwise, anybody coming down the pipe can walk into a church and just try to decimate it, all in the name of thus saith the Lord. And if we don't understand the way the Holy Spirit is, the language of the Spirit, the way He functions in His environments that follow Him and surround Him, then people just sit there and say, "Oh my gosh." And they think it was God just because somebody says they're more spiritual. Well, we already saw the fact that Holy Spirit functions in the arena of edification to build you up, to exhort you, to bring comfort into your life, right? Okay, so here James says this, "Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his," what? What is it? What's the first word? Oh, good! Good behavior, his deeds in, what's the next three words? The gentleness. Everybody say gentleness. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him prove it by his good behavior and deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. So then he goes and deals with the contrary, things that come out of the world, mindsets in the world. And in contrast, he says, but if you've got bitter jealousy, selfish ambition, everybody say selfish ambition, in the heart, and do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthy, natural, and demonic. Everybody say demonic. Can we say that word? Demonic. Verse 16, for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder. And then he goes back to that which comes from heaven, that which is from the Holy Spirit, verse 17. The wisdom that's from above is first pure, let me say pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy, good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And look at verse 18. The seed, how many know about that's talking about motives? How many know you can't see motives? How many know when you plant seeds, there you can't see them, you only see what they produce? He's saying the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown by thus saith the Lord, so you better listen. Is that what it says? No. Is sown in, I had a vision, and this is what Jesus said to me. No, it's sown seeds that are righteous, that produce righteous fruit, or that will produce righteous fruit. Motives that will produce righteous fruit are sown from the place of being in peace, and then they're sown by those whose motives and intentions are to make peace. Now, I've heard situations, and I've seen them too. Being in ministry as I have been, but even in recent days, I've seen scenarios where somebody will roll into a church, and they'll begin to scrutinize everything that's being done. And then they'll start going to all the prayer meetings in the church, and they basically subvert them and start for their own motives and their own gain. They start kind of taking over the prayer meetings, and then they'll come out against those people in the church that don't agree with them, and they'll start talking about visions that they've had and dreams that they've had, and Jesus appeared to me, and how dare you come against me? I'm going to sue you with a lawyer and blah blah blah. How many know that just immediately they just completely revealed they're not speaking by the Spirit of God at all? Because if you're going to operate like that, you might as well just hang a big old sign around your neck and say, I'm hurt, and this is not from him, but I want to throw a tantrum. Because Holy Spirit, the Word is very clear how he functions. And it's saying here, James is saying, those things that come out of heaven will have certain attributes to them, certain characteristics to them. They'll, first of all, the wisdom that comes from above is pure. In other words, there's no you in it. Right? There's no self-ambition in it. There's no influence of self in it. It's peaceable. It's gentle. It's reasonable, it's full of mercy, it produces good fruits, it's unwavering, it's without hypocrisy. And the motives, the seeds, the motives that the fruit will be righteousness, they're sown by those who their intentions, their motives are peace, and they desire to make peace. They desire to sow peace into the situation. So those are the things that are indicative of the ways of the Spirit of God. And there's other things in your Bible along those lines too. But those are the things that when the Holy Spirit, if we're going to honor His presence and honor His ministry towards human beings, we need to recognize that A, He expects us to produce that environment. Paul said, remember what he said? He said, let this mind be in you. Maintain the same love. Encourage, exhort. Since there's a certain speaking of the love of God into your life, since those things exist, and since there is a certain, you notice it works from the inside out. It goes from edification to, he ends on compassion. Well, that's an outward manifestation of, that's why in the same exact letter, Paul said, work what's on the inside. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Work that which is on the inside, the exhortation, since there's a certain exhortation, since there's a certain edification, since there's a certain consolation of love or gentle speaking of encouragement of love, then you take those things and work those things to the outside towards somebody else. Does that make sense? Since that's the environment, then Holy Spirit, A, expects us to produce that environment because He loves to thrive in that environment. And number two, to recognize when somebody is not in that environment and they're not coming from that place. Folks, the only reason that damage is done, y'all can stand up. The only reason that damage is done in churches is because folks are completely oblivious to what is Holy Spirit and what is not. So when we understand what Holy Spirit is, then we recognize what He's not. And frankly, I'm going to know if one person or two people or a group of individuals, they start trying to stir something up and they have motives that are all about self. And so therefore what's being produced in the environment of everyone around them is not peaceable. It's not, it doesn't build up, it doesn't exhort, it doesn't comfort. It's to gain control and to manipulate and to steer people towards them. Then how many know that if 95% of the people in that environment recognize that this is not of God, and positive pressure will force that puppy out? Amen. So, and like I said, it's not about today. It's about the rest of our life. I'm so glad that the Holy Spirit loves us enough to teach us about His ways. Because frankly, I mean, I'll just be honest with you. I'm kind of tired of seeing darkness just rip people. And, you know, maybe you're one of those people. Maybe you have been on the receiving end in your lifetime of somebody who meant well, and or maybe they didn't even mean well. Maybe they just wanted to use the cloak of I'm spiritual and you're not to try to get a spiritual advantage on you. And they spoke some things in your life that they just damaged you. They didn't do anything. They didn't build you up or exhort you, comfort you at all. Well, today's a good day for you. Because now you can just chuck it. Because Holy Spirit, as He said, He wants to make 2015 the year that He builds a history with you that you'll look back on and say, that's where it started. You know, when we see verses in the Bible, in the New Testament, that talk about, and the Holy Spirit said through Paul in 1 Corinthians 14, you know, you all can prophesy. You need to be excited about those verses. Because He's saying that you as the new man or the new woman, if you declare Jesus Lord of your life, He took you out of darkness, placed you into His marvelous light and life, put Himself in you, and He said, I've made you an able minister of my new covenant. And you need to get excited about when you see verses that say, you all can prophesy. You all are equipped. Not some of you. Not all of us that are in the fivefold ministry. He said, all of you are equipped to unveil the mind of Father. Because He put His Spirit in you for that reason. I'm going to get into some things. I didn't get into them today, but I'm going to get into some things next week. That, frankly, there's been things that have been said by the Spirit of God in your Bible that you pretty much stay away from. Because the circumstances have told you that doesn't work for you. Mark 11, 23 and 24. If you believe in your heart, don't receive any doubt into your heart, but believe those things that you say come to pass, Mark 11, 24, you'll have whatever you say. Do we really want to be outdone by natural men? How many remember Isaac, when Isaac prophesied and he spoke a blessing over, well, he thought it was Esau, but it was actually Jacob. And then when Esau showed up, he begged him to give him a blessing. And Isaac said, I can't, I already blessed Jacob. And he made this statement, he says, and he will be blessed. You know how that would read nowadays? Esau would have showed up, found out that Isaac had spoken a blessing over Jacob. One or two things would have happened. First, he would have said, well, give me a blessing too. And Isaac would have said, yeah, I guess I can do that. The problem is he already spoke something over Jacob. Did it mean anything at all? See, nowadays he would have said, oh, it doesn't mean nothing. You can do it to me too. And then Isaac could have said, yeah, that's no big deal. I did the same thing over you. Well, that poses a problem because then that's contradictory to Mark 11:24. You don't really believe the things that you say come to pass. But Isaac knew that as a natural man who followed God, he knew that what comes out of my mouth happens. Esau knew it too. Why do you think he was begging and crying for a blessing? And the only thing that Isaac could do was speak the exact opposite over Esau that he spoke over Jacob, because Isaac knew and believed that whatsoever things he said would come to pass and he would have what he said. That's why he said, and he will be blessed. There's things that the God has spoken to you in your lifetime and it's time for you to dust those things off. Because how many know God believes the things that he says come to pass? He wants you to understand this is the way the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is always functioning in the environment that God is not a man that he should lie. So in order to see the full manifestation of the Holy Spirit in our midst, we need to think that way, we need to conduct ourselves that way, and we need to speak that way. And give him something to work with. Amen. So we're going to get into that next week. You guys get anything out of this today? Amen. Well, let's give the Lord a hand. Father, we just love you and praise you. We love you and praise you. And I declare that these people are blessed of the Lord. I declare that the Spirit of God is upon them. The Spirit of God is in them. And that, Father, that you jealously desire the Spirit of God that's in them. And as every day goes by, they're yielding more and more to the influence of the Spirit of God, and more every day, you're taking them into their future. And I just thank you for that. I thank you for the full manifestation of those things in their lives and in the lives as they walk in those things in this city. And we call this place filled, we call it full to overflowing, with people that are hungry to live, move, and have their being in you. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, if you don't have plans today, find somebody and go have some fellowship with somebody so you can both root for the same team, or maybe just don't get in a fight if you're against. I don't want to hear any testimonies, but we loved each other before last week, and now we're. But go be blessed and go live blessed because you are blessed. Amen.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.